This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 9/11 on Friday morning. We normally talk to Ian McNulty at this time, but he does have a life of his own, and we tried chaining him up in the shed, and it didn't work. So Ian's not going to be with us today. He'll be back Friday. But we did want to talk about the release of the JFK files, and that's always an interesting topic, especially here in New Orleans, what with the New Orleans connection to Lee Harvey Oswald and the conspiracy theories, the numerous conspiracy theories that are flying around out there, as well as some history of what happened on Camp Street and Lee Harvey Oswald and Guy Bannister and all this kind of stuff. And the release of some files and pages of documents with the JFK assassination. And here to help us kind of sort through all of it and talk about what's true and what's not, what we've learned, what we don't know, Jonathan Earle, Dean of the LSU Honors College, who teaches courses on conspiracy theories. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm great. I'll try to be as entertaining as your usual guest.
Well, Dr. Earle, look, let me tell you, whenever you talk about the JFK assassination, I think that's something that let me ask you that. You're the doctor. Let me ask you that. Historically, I know it was a different time period and everything, but did other presidential assassinations carry the same kind of conspiracies as did JFK?
You know, the only comparable one is Abraham Lincoln's assassination in 1865, but it was nothing like this. It didn't spawn an entire, you know, subculture of conspiracy theory and conspiracy thinking that JFK's does, mostly because there was no national security state like we had in the 1960s.
And my own personal feeling on this, and just, you know, I want to open a phone line here, the Urquhart Jeweler Talking Text Line at 504-260-1870. If you have any questions about or comments about the JFK assassination, I personally, Doctor, thought that there might be a conspiracy until June of last year. And when that happened in Pennsylvania, I thought, well, one of two things. This is the way my mind works, okay? It works in a kind of flow chart, organizational chart manner, however you want to say it, is that either, yes, it did just happen in Dallas, if what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania could happen in 2024, or there was some kind of conspiracy in 2024, but it can't be each unique events. So tell me, subsequently, as a result of that, my thoughts are, you know what, Lee Harvey Oswald just acted alone, and it just was a failure in security, just as if this guy had aimed a little better, we would not have Donald Trump alive today. He would be dead because of this assassin. Your thoughts on all of that?
I'm gonna have to agree with you. I think that nothing in this latest release of documents by President Trump this week has shown me that anybody other than Lee Oswald assassinated President Kennedy. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there, and historians and reporters and investigators, citizen investigators, are going to have a lot to pour through over the next days and weeks. But yeah, I think it was a tragic day, and I think that this guy got lucky with a rifle in the sixth floor of the Texas Book Depository.
Especially when you see the picture of the bullet whizzing by President Trump's ear, or not by it, but clipping a little piece of it. I mean, that just amazes me that that could happen in 2025, and if it could, 2024, and if it could, then certainly could have happened in 1963. Let's talk about what do we know that are in these files? These how many files have been released? How many pages of documents? How much of it that was redacted is not redacted or is still redacted? Do we know?
We do. So we have about 61,000 new files, most of which, Tommy, have been released in the past. I should say that. This is not new information. What is new is that it's unredacted. So the things that the CIA or the NSA thought should be crossed out are no longer crossed out. And the ones I've seen so far, I'll be honest, they're basically, you know, names, social security numbers, and home addresses of people who worked on the Church Commission report in the 1970s or were CIA assets in Mexico City in the 1960s. So I have yet to see something that's like going to change the, you know, move the needle, if it will, of what we know about the assassination. We're going to know more about what the CIA was doing, you know, abroad and in our own country in the 1960s, though.
So it was not in any way to hide anything that went on with the assassination. It was kind of like, I'm trying to think of an example where it's ancillary to the investigation and there's no need to release it because it's just going to either compromise a source in Mexico or give somebody, I guess, release their private information and there's no need for it. Am I accurate?
I think those are part of it. And what about also adding to that, the CIA doesn't want its methods to be broadcast to the general public about how to tap a phone line in Mexico City in 1961. A lot of that, who cares now? But there's a lot of spycraft that I've seen in this current document dump that might be interesting to historians or reporters who are interested in the national security state.
I think when it comes to the CIA and whoever else is involved in here, the NSA, what other agencies are involved, Doctor?
I mean, those are the ones I know. And the FBI, of course, involved in all of these things. And then, I mean, what was so fascinating to me about the Kennedy assassination is how everybody became an expert. You know, you just mentioned seeing, you know, a picture of President Trump, and we all become ballistics experts. We all become experts in how cars move up and down Dealey Plaza and how many shots you can squeeze off of a specific kind of Italian rifle. I'm not an expert in any of these things, I'll be honest. So I'm always looking for things that I actually know versus things I don't
know.
Well,
let me interrupt for a second. I'm going by the picture that I saw from, I think it was a New York Times reporter or whomever it was, and I'm presuming that's true. Anything can be
bullet,
anything,
yeah.
Mistake, right?
Yeah. No, exactly. But, although I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't know anything more than what I saw.
And none of us do, right? I mean, but when it comes to these security agencies, it doesn't have to be a presidential assassination. They don't want you to know what they're doing because of the nature of their work. Is that an accurate
correct
statement?
Correct. And also, you know, let's not forget there was a Cold War and there was a Soviet Union that was, you know, aiming lots of nuclear weapons at us, and we were in constant, you know, fringe battle in countries that a lot of Americans had never heard of, places like Laos and Cuba and Western Africa.
It seems as though conspiracy theories are based on, okay, prove I'm wrong. And that's almost impossible to do, right? You teach courses on conspiracy theories. Tell me about some of the courses you teach and some of the conspiracy theories that you address.
Well, this one became kind of a big deal because I think one thing we should talk about also is that conspiracy thinking and conspiracy theories are entertaining. They're part of our popular culture. Mm. So we can have, you know, political thrillers that we like to read or JFK, the film that Oliver Stone directed in 1991. That's a very entertaining movie, but not great history, I would argue. So what we do in this class is talk about how there's something in the American ferment, maybe the air or the water, that makes us question our institutions and to be suspicious. So, and that's the kind of thing that the JFK assassination, with all the unanswered questions, really tapped into. It got people of all parts of the political spectrum interested in figuring out what really happened, because sometimes the truth doesn't feel great, that some loser killed the president of the United States in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. It has to be something bigger, right?
Yeah, exactly. So here's another example of one that I'm pretty confident about. We had a pretty amazing program and a pretty well-funded program of sending up weather balloons in the 1940s and 50s in the southwestern desert. Mm-hmm. And then when one of them fell to Earth, someone said it looks like it's kind of an extraterrestrial type of material, right? And maybe it's an alien spacecraft. All the U.S. government had to do was kind of come clean with the American people and say we have this covert operation to spy on our friends and our enemies, and that's what we were doing. But it allows an entire subculture to thrive that about alien abductions and alien ships that I don't think really were flying over parts of New Mexico in the 1940s.
I lived in Las Vegas in the late 80s, early 90s, and I was leaving for work one morning doing a morning show, and I saw a green light in the distance moving up, down, sideways, all over the place. And part of me said, oh, my God, that's a UFO. Then I realized, no, that's something from Nellis, and they're screwing around with some kind of technology in the middle of the night hoping nobody sees it. That would be the more rational explanation, would you not think?
Sometimes the most rational explanation is the right explanation. And again, we were trying to spy on our enemies. So there was a reason for these things. I want to be made safe.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
But I also don't want to be lied to by my government, which unfortunately the U.S. government did do a lot in the UFO situation. And then there's a lot of gaps in the Warren Commission report after the JFK assassination. It's a very frustrating document.
Tell me about this Dr. Mary's Monkey book. I know people have talked about it. I've never read it. Do you know about that theory?
I know nothing about that. You should tell me, Tommy.
Well, I don't know. People texted in, and I know Don Dubuque has talked about it. It's Amazon. I'm looking at the book. It says, Dr. Mary's Monkey, How the Unsolved Murder of a Doctor, a Secret Laboratory in New Orleans, and Cancer-Causing Monkey Viruses are Linked to Lee Harvey Assassination and Emerging Global Epidemics, and at some point they bring AIDS into this.
Oh, my gosh. So everyone's looking for that Rosetta Stone that explains everything that's wrong with the world. And New Orleans is a special place for that. We sometimes operate that way. Hey, I'm speaking today on the phone from Burgundy Street in the lower quarter. So Cosimo's Bar is right here where people have talked for decades that some assassination plans were hatched there.
Is that where you're talking from, really?
That's where I'm talking from.
I wouldn't have said that. No. Big mistake.
Maybe the satellite's got a beat on me.
Yes, exactly. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. And y'all, if you have any questions or comments, text them in, please. I'll pass them along to Dr. Jonathan Earle when we come back. Dean of the LSU Honors College. Government recently released a number of files about the JFK assassination. I think, Professor, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, what they show so far is that the CIA and security agencies are very secretive about what they do. They want to protect the information, but that's not necessarily because they were covering anything up. Is that pretty accurate?
I completely agree with that assessment.
All right. Let me read a couple of texts. You can respond when we come back. Good Lord, new docs indicate Oswald was a terrible shot from the Russians. Trump was in a moving car and the guy couldn't hit him straight on. Jack Ruby was a silencer, a useful idiot, much like Oswald. What happened in Butler, Pennsylvania was staged. Also, somebody else texting in here and saying that the Butler, Pennsylvania and the Kennedy assassination were linked. And I guess that's like that thing they used to, you know, before they had social media, they used to have these things that people would copy about Ford had Lincoln, Lincoln had a Ford, all this stuff. We'll talk more when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is currently 9:30. Normally, We talked to Ian McNulty, not available today, so we thought we'd talk with Jonathan Earle, dean of the LSU Honors College, about the recently released JFK files, and he teaches courses on conspiracy theories, about conspiracy theories, rather, and why they are so popular. One thing that is not a conspiracy, I see on Twitter that John Emery Jr. is going to return to LSU for a seventh season of college football. That seems like one of those tales, professor, that people pass along that's not true, but in this case, it is. When you talk
it
about
seems like a big number, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. When you talk about conspiracies, you have a pension soon. When you talk about conspiracy theories, they fascinate me. Not the theory themselves, but how people can get so entwined in this and how they can go so far down the rabbit hole and there's no convincing them otherwise. And then you start looking at connections here and there and that and Venn diagrams and this connects with that. And then like in one sunny day in Philadelphia, I don't know if you've ever seen that program where Charlie's got his thread all over the place.
Charlie Day,
right?
Meme.
Yeah,
exactly.
So is this any different, really, than psychologically and with human beings and back in the days when man would sit around and women sit around fires and tell stories about what happened in the old days and then they'd add on a little bit and a little bit and a little bit?
I think it's exactly right. We love stories, and we also like the idea that there are designing people, you know, behind curtains who are really calling the shots. You know, in the early 19th century, there was a big conspiracy theory, this might sound kind of strange, about the Freemasons. Who are those guys that, like, you know, like to get together, you know, on a Thursday night and drink beer in their hall? Mm-hmm. But there was a conspiracy theory that they were running the entire federal government. And sure enough, if you look back, a lot of the early presidents were Freemasons, George Washington, Andrew Jackson. So they got kind of all whipped up into a frenzy in upstate New York that they formed a Freemason, an anti-Freemason party, to believe it or not.
And as you mentioned that, you know, you talk about Freemasons, I'm thinking Yale and Skull and Bones or Harvard.
Yeah.
But
secret
the fact
society
of the matter is a lot of presidents and a lot of Supreme Court justices do come from Yale or Harvard. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's a conspiracy, but like a cause and effect kind of thing, right?
Exactly. Like, you know, Yale has been producing presidents for a long time. I remember back in 2004, we had John Kerry running for the Democrats against President George W. Bush. They were both members of Skull and Bones, which is a tiny little secret society at one university, Yale. So I love to tell my students that, you know, Skull and Bones can't lose. Either way, they're going to have a man in the White House.
Let me ask you about this text that came in. Somebody said, so you just discredit or ignore the U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee on Assassinations found in 1979 that Kennedy was probably assassinated as a result of a conspiracy.
I mean, the House committee can say what it wants and I can say what I want. It's still America.
But I guess what they're saying is they would want to know why then would a select committee say that.
That's a great question. I do think that, you know, a lot of what, you know, why did President Trump release these documents? Part of it, I think, is because he's actually truly interested in this, and he was interested in his first term as well. And second, because I think, you know, it's kind of good politics to let clean things out, you know, let fresh air in. You know, there was also another select committee in 1992, which was the one that declared we needed to release all of the JFK assassination files. That was 43 years ago, and we're still releasing them this week. So, you know, Congress knows what's popular. Congress knows what their constituents want to hear.
So, that exactly. I think you nailed it, and that was my thought as I asked you that question. When it comes to The social media and conspiracy theories. I talked earlier about people sitting around a fire and passing along the tales and adding a little bit here, a little bit there, like a game of telephone. I mean, it's got to just be exponential now with social media. And again, I'm saying it, prove it's not true. If you can't prove it's not true, then it's true.
That's a great observation. You can pretty much find anything you want to find if you're just looking on the internet. No, again, these early conspiracy thinkers about the Kennedy assassination, they were guys in their basements, you know, with their mimeographs and their small networks. And what the advent of the internet does is makes it global. You know, everybody can do their own research. Everybody can have a theory. Everyone can become a ballistics expert.
What is it about conspiracy? Well, let me take a step back first. Was there a point in the country that, was it the Kennedy assassination that really was the tipping point for conspiracy theories, or did it start before that or after that?
Well, in my class, I really do explain that there's a long American history of conspiracy thinking, you know, about Freemasons, about who might have killed President Lincoln. You know, was it the Confederate, was it a Confederate conspiracy, or was it just one man? But the Kennedy assassination brings it all into the mainstream, and everybody who was alive then, you know, and it's getting to be fewer and fewer people, remembers exactly where they were when they heard about the president's assassination, just like younger people know about 9/11 or Katrina, or maybe the president's attempted assassination this past summer will be for some people. But it brought it into the mainstream. It made it part of the American culture that will never end. There are other places on the planet that have conspiracy thinking too. The Arab world is a good example, but we are kind of we're the pace setters in conspiracy thinking, the United States.
So where do you see this headed with AI and faked videos? And this just seems to me like if it's not out of control, it can get out of control easily. And if that happens, what do you see the effect on society being?
I don't think it's going to be easier to prove to your uncle at Thanksgiving that, you know, that vaccines are safe or that JFK was assassinated by one guy. I think we're all going to, it's going to be hard to have a single truth that we can all agree on. You know, we all talk about, you know, the days where we had three network anchors talking about the news, CBS, ABC, NBC, and that's it. That's gone for good. And people are going to find their own streams of information and their own truths. And hopefully we can all agree on what we can agree on and continue as a stable democracy.
Are your courses available online or not?
Oh, no. Yeah. Maybe I should do one online. This sounds like it sounds like there might be more interest about it than I thought.
Well, because the theories themselves and why people believe them, to me, and let me pose my theory to you, Professor, and you can tell me what you think. I think people embrace conspiracy theories because they can't handle chaos and the fact that sometimes stuff just happens. I always say, and I've been saying for years on the air, that when you're a kid, you think, well, something like that can't happen because, you know, the grown-ups are watching it. And then when you get to be a grown-up, you realize nobody's watching anything. There's no conspiracy.
No.
Stuff just happens. And I think sometimes people try to make sense out of chaos, but unfortunately chaos just happens, so they back engineer their way into, well, here's why it happened, when in fact it just happened. Thoughts?
It just happens. You know, you're kind of talking about how historical causation works, and I think I'm in complete agreement with you. No one likes a messy ending. You know, no one likes the idea that one crackpot can cause so much damage in the American political world by one shot. It's very disturbing and very scary. So I think you're right. We're trying to find reasons where sometimes there are no reasons in existence.
Do you find, we got to let you go here because I got another guest coming up, but when it comes to, and I hope you come back, when it comes to age groups, men, women, younger, older, race, whatever, religion, do conspiracy theories appeal to one group more than the other, or is it pretty universal?
I love that question. I think one thing you can say about the Kennedy assassination is it's kind of changed from a kind of a left of the center of the political spectrum conspiracy to the right of the center political conspiracy. And I do think that there is that stereotype. We were talking about the Charlie Day meme from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. that there are, you know, young men who are in their basements doing video games, thinking up conspiracy theories. That may be true, but I think it changes over and over and over again in American history.
It would seem like it's going to be interesting to watch what happens as soon as any historical event happens. If you talk about the Las Vegas shooting, I know people have conspiracy theories on that, 9/11, Columbine, and we all know what happened legally with that. What would your final words be to people, Professor, about conspiracy theories and maybe trying to figure out what's true and what's not?
I love that. Well, first of all, read widely. Don't go down rabbit holes that are badly sourced. And remember that we all have to live together in a society, and being suspicious of everybody and everything doesn't always help us be better citizens of a republic.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate it. I really do. Your time. Dr. Jonathan Earle, Dean of the LSU Honors College, talking about conspiracy theories and the JFK assassination and the files that were recently released. Ian McNulty, not able to be with us today, but he'll be back next week. And when we come back, we'll talk to JR with Taking Vegas, get some weekend winners for you. JR has been on fire, so I would listen to the free pick that he has coming up. He always gives us one because I think he's backed himself in a corner, and he's got to give us the best of his best now to keep his string going. We'll see. Traffic, WWL.